It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
We're talking about homosexuality, Your Honor. It's life-threatening. If God doesn't get you for it, the skinheads will. And if the skinheads don't, the Republicans will. And if the Republicans don't, the Southern Democrats will. And if they don't, my God, it'll be left up to Florida.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome I'm ready back. To be disciplined now.
Yes, discipline him.
Chambers?
877-365-3636. Sorry to jump on James Spader. Although, wouldn't I like to, though?
Amen, brother.
I want to thank James and everyone at Fast Signs of Fairfax.
Nice.
They listen all day. They're fans of the station. We really appreciate them. They come through all the time for anything we need by way of signs or signage. You can even pick up your free limited edition BYOB bumper sticker at Fast Signs of Fairfax. Call them 703-352-6200. They created the name tags that the Buzz Babes will have on Friday night. We've got a huge stand-up show sign that they just made.
Now beautiful. That is beautiful sign. Yeah.
And we've got BYOB bumper stickers that we'll be giving away at the event on Friday night over at Bungalow Billiards in Chantilly.
How much is Beth Ann charging for those?
She's going to have them all over her body.
Oh, very good. She'll make a gown of them.
All right, we got the Hollywood Buzz coming up, but we are in the middle of Parenting 101. Mm-hmm. I've been sitting over here listening. I've been observing. We're talking about kids lying and why they do it, how to discipline them if they do. And I think everybody probably has had one or two experiences with this if you're a parent
kid.
Stretching the truth. I know that I can count a few times that I was doing it with my parents. Mm-hmm. But as a parent, it's like the worst thing in your book.
You hate
that more than anything. And a lot of people have been standing by. Bruce, you want to weigh in on this subject about parenting and kids lying and what to do and all that good stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello. My call is to let Rob know there's plenty of housing opportunities in Guantanamo Bay.
Are you saying Rob's a little heavy-handed with his punishment?
I'm surprised he didn't waterboard her hamster or something.
She's not allowed to have a hamster, Bruce.
Thank you for the call, Bruce. We appreciate
it. Now, during that break, I got a call from who I think is probably the greatest parent ever.
Oh, aren't you sweet? It's your mommy?
My mother.
Yes, Sharon. How you doing, Sharon?
And,
love you, Sharon.
She babysits. I do too, Mom. Mm-hmm. And she babysits for Julia a lot, and she has a theory. She says she thinks Julia lies to be cool. Because here are two additional lies that she's given to my mother. Again, easily checked. She said, and she calls my mom Shaysho. For
Shaysho.
She said, I'm sorry, Shaysho, while you're cooking.
Shaysho. We go to Beijing and tell a giant lie. Well, that's what the Chinese government does.
Remember that she told my mom that she was allergic to all fish but tuna?
Right.
In the past, she has also told my mother, the recent past, that she's a vegetarian. And also that she's lactose intolerant.
She's very intelligent.
Now, for one thing, a seven-year-old shouldn't even be knowing lactose intolerant.
John in Manassas, you're on with the Mike O'Mara Show. What do you have for this subject, John?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I've got a seven-year-old daughter myself, and the big thing with her is I think is that she wants to have like to be the center of attention, and I think that when I come home, she doesn't have that much time with me. I pick her up from daycare. She's only got like a couple hours with me. So this is she lies to me basically to get attention.
I was thinking about that. Okay.
You know,
all right. That's a good point, John.
Now that is
I was thinking about maybe
valid.
Whether she was lying
you
for
know,
attention. You
when,
know,
when you just told your last story, that's exactly what it is, Rob.
You think it's attention that Julia wants attention from him? That's
from
why?
Him, yeah, just...
Because he's neglecting her.
If no, you're... But then why lie to my mother?
If you're interested,
good point.
I've been reading some research here from the University of Pennsylvania about when and why kids start lying. They start lying generally, sometimes as early as two or three. By the age of four, a kid lies every hour and a half. By the age of six, they're lying about once every 2 hours. And this paragraph, very short, sums it up. Kids lie early, often, and for all sorts of reasons. To avoid punishment, to bond with friends, to gain a sense of control. But now there's a singular theory for why this habit develops. They're just copying their parents.
Yeah, because we lie. Yeah.
You want to talk to a child psychologist?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
We got one. At least that's what he's claiming to be.
I have never in my life lied.
Andy in Fairfax. Andy, Fairfax, Virginia. You're on with Buzz
Except
and Rob and
now.
Beth Ann and Mike. We're going to talk about lying. What's the deal, Andy?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
First of all, I got to tell you, I think you're sending the right message. You do need to address the lying.
Nip it.
But I think some of the other callers had some things right. I mean, kids don't want to disappoint you, but kids will push the limits. They want to know what the limits are, and they're going to keep pushing the limits until you let them know what they are.
Okay.
So you need to set those limits. But I also need to say that
I think he's lying.
Shows,
I really do.
He's a sound psychologist.
I'm
as well
sorry,
as I am.
I just think he is.
Andy,
all due respect, I am waiting for that shoe
yeah,
to drop.
He's too out of breath.
But I also want to say, I think you should lose some more weight. And he's going to run off laughing. Are you really a child psychologist?
I am really a child psychologist.
Okay, what's the best punishment for this type of situation? I think that's what this whole discussion.
Not punishing. Punishment. Research shows punishment does not work.
All right. So what do you do?
Hold on, Andy.
We got a lot of calls, and I want to just get right to the point here. So your kid lies to you, like in that situation where it's an obvious lie. How do you handle that? What's the way you handle that?
I think what you and Beth Ann said was the best thing. Once they come true with the lie,
right.
You appraise them for the positive.
I agree.
That's the best thing you can do with your kids, is praise them for what they do right instead of punishing them for what they do wrong.
Okay, but what if you reinforce the fact that telling me the truth at the end of this whole escapade was the right thing to do, but then you still do a mild punishment like that?
Because you're contradicting yourself.
You are, yeah.
Mild punishment is right. Sending them to bed without dinner may be a bit severe, Rob.
Yeah.
You've never had my wife's cooking.
Bread and water.
I think we should get to the bottom of this, Andy. Andy, we should get to the bottom of this, that the fact is Rob is eating his children's food. That's what's happening. I agree with you. I think that, you a milder punishment, say, okay, now listen, why don't you, go up and clean up your brother's mess or something because you lied. But I want to say, at the end of the day, you told the truth, and that rocks. That is fantastic, and I'm really glad. Right. Beth Ann is chomping at the bit. Yes,
well,
what do you want to say?
Most of the time, if you can make a punishment.
So is Andy.
Most of the time, if you can make a punishment connected to the transgression, a natural consequence works so much better.
Thanks for calling, Dr. Pushy.
Thank you.
I liked him.
He was very nice. Robbie helped
you
out. Thanks for calling in, Andy. We appreciate the call.
Once you got the truth out of her, I just would have said, thank you, Julia. And then that would have made her feel good. And then I would have said, but Julia, I want you to walk right over there, pick up that doll, and I want to see you throw it away.
But also, keep in mind, this is less than 24 hours after we had just had a run-in for the same thing.
And the reason, but the thing is, you did the punishment, and you didn't do the positive. And the positive will result and change behavior. I believe that. I've done that with my kids before.
Right.
I will go off and say, I want this room cleaned up now. And then once it's done, I say, see, this is what I'm talking about. Now let's go down and have some fun. It's always, you initially go, hey, do not lie. Now, are you telling me the fact that you are looking ahead of her and you are grilling her at 6'4", glaring down at her as a 7-year-old, that is the moment of trauma that she's going to remember. And I'm not saying trauma in a bad way. I'm saying that's the moment where she's going to say, oh, my God, I better not do this again. Then when you come around on the other end of that thing, you say, see, now I appreciate you finally telling me the truth. The fact that you go back after she does, even though you had to squeeze it out of her, the fact that you punish after that may be confusing her a little bit.
Perhaps. But also I want you all to know my house is not devoid of praise. I mean, I do spend time with the kids.
For
which
you. I'm kidding.
No, there's none of that.
And adoration.
All right, that's it. Everybody that called, one last person with a lying kids. Gary, you're the last call we can take on this because we got to get the Hollywood buzz on here. Gary, what can we do for you?
What's up, guys? I just want to let you know I have what people call in the medical field a drinking problem. Whenever I come home and my son's acting a little bit, like a little bitch or something,
oh,
I just normally punch that fat ass right in the head and lock him in his closet.
Wow. I don't know why. All I heard, the phone drop off, and I heard fat ass drinking, locking in a closet. Father of the year, ladies and gentlemen.
So we've seen both sides of the coin.
There he
now.
Goes. I think that's an appropriate time to cue the music. Thanks to everybody that called in on this subject. And I think we got a little headway on there.
I'll keep you guys updated.
Got to do a little bit. I know you praise your kids as well. And I'm not throwing you under the bus for that. But I think in this particular circumstance, rewarding at the end when they finally do tell the truth.
Yeah.
Now that's the way it is. See how that works when she lies to you tonight.
You always reward us for good behavior.
I always do, and you never have lied to me, ever. Yes. Lying's never been a part of our entire relationship.
Let's go with that.
Okay. Here's the Hollywood buzz. Buzz Burbank, what's happening?
John McCain's favorite television president. He was asked about this by Entertainment Weekly. Who do you think
and I approve this message.
Yes. Of all the people, of all the actors who've ever portrayed presidents on television, who do you think John McCain's favorite is?
Martin Sheen.
No.
Older or new?
More recent, I would say.
More recent.
Mm-hmm.
Presidents on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the black president on 24?
Oh, you mean
David Palmer.
President Palmer.
Dennis Haysbert is the actor, yes.
Dennis Haysbert.
Right. You're correct.
Hey, hey!
Hey, look at
hey,
you!
Hey, 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 hey! Thank
is that
you.
Your favorite president?
I loved him as president. What a great president, good. President Palmer.
He chose the black president.
Mm-hmm.
He picked David Palmer from 24, who was played by Dennis Haysbert. Palmer was president of the United States in seasons 2 and 3 of 24 and was assassinated in season 5 before leaving office.
That sucked, and that show went downhill after he was gone.
I agree. McCain said he likes Palmer because, quote, he makes tough decisions. He takes charge. He's ready to sacrifice his interest on behalf of the interest of his country.
And that's the bottom line. Because John McCain said so.
Thank you, sir.
Said so. Say, what a silly president you are.
Now, when he was asked about possible similarities between President Palmer and Barack Obama, McCain said, quote, you know, I hope that I and all Americans can be colorblind about any president.
Well, that's good. Good answer.
Well handled.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Robert Downey Jr. Has, I think, maybe the quote of the month, maybe the quote of the year. In the new issue of Rolling Stone, Robert Downey Jr. talks about his ongoing struggle with drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, Mike.
We all know about that.
Yeah, we know about that.
But he's been clean for 5 years now.
And would you not agree, I really do believe, one of the most brilliant actors of our time.
Extremely
talented. I mean, really an incredible talent.
If anybody doubts it. Watch Chaplin.
Chaplin
it's
is
an
just amazing.
Agreed.
And you know what? What was the superhero one that he just did?
Iron Man.
I don't like superhero movies. He's too good in it to ignore. He's that good in the movie. He makes it.
He delivers maybe the most awesome metaphor ever for a recovering addict in this quote in Rolling Stone. He says, "As long as I don't forget the past, I'm cool. One must always be mindful, just like you might forget that old girlfriend who tried to slit your throat, but she's still really hot."
That's not bad at all.
"If you remember the stitches more than you remember the Daisy, you're going to be just fine."
That's very cool.
That is good.
That is a pretty good quote.
I wish him luck. And, you know, the one thing about anybody in recovery, it is one day at a time. And I hope he hangs in there. And I hope he keeps making good movies, you know, because when he was going through that that period where we saw the mugshots more than we saw the movies, it was not pleasant. I love Robert Downey Jr. on screen. I think he's
great
fantastic.
What's your
gut
on that new movie with him and Ben Stiller?
I think I would watch it based solely on Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a smash.
What the hell is the name of it? I'm blocking on the name
Pineapple
of it, too.
No, that's the other one.
No. It's the one where they're all in the military
Vietnam
movie.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Tropic That's Thunder.
Tropic Thank Thunder. Thank you.
Tropic Thunder.
Go ahead, Buzz.
And the question has been posed, has Oprah delivered 1 million votes to Obama in the primary?
That's one.
They did a study at the University of Maryland, as a matter of fact. A couple of guys there came up with a formula to figure out what, if any, impact Oprah had on the primaries. We won't bore you with the math, but the bottom line is they looked at things like book sales, TV ratings, and voter turnout and decided Oprah was worth a grand total of 1,015,519 votes to Obama in the primary.
We did the same study for this show.
Yes.
And during the primary season, this show was worth two votes to Barack Obama.
That's right.
That's because Buzz and I went to the polling place that day, and I'm not sure whether Rob votes in the Democratic primary.
I did not vote in the primary.
Okay, very good.
Two it is, man.
It was two votes.
Coming up in your final Buzz, Americans swearing off the beer. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
False.
Yeah, don't worry about
You
heard politics. We are going to talk politics. Senior editor from CBSNews.com, the political editor, Vaughn Ververs, my favorite name in the whole wide world.
Awesome.
He'll be joining us in studio to talk all about the politics of the day. And there's been a lot going on recently.
You think?
That, more fun and more thrills. Coming up also, we are going to be doing our Day of Beauty. Three queens go to the grooming lounge. That and more coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.